I'm good. How are you?
Good. Nice to talk to you. How you been?
I'm good. I'm in the gym trying to beat somebody. trying to keep 50 off of me.
I see you always working out and wiping smells off of the gym benches you use.
Yeah.
Marlon Wayans is joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, Mina Sewa in your midday on 100.3 Philly's R&B. Marlon, last time I saw you was pre-pandemic. I believe you were at the Punchline. You were absolutely hilarious. I was crying at one point. That's how funny you were. And it's funny, you go to these comedy shows sometimes, and, you know, you have your high moments and then some moments where it's like, eh. No, you was hitting them jokes, Marlon. And I was like, yo, I think Marlon might be the funniest Wayans brothers. Like, you were that amazing.
Well, thank you so much. I never want to be the funniest one. It's too much pressure. One of the funniest is fine with me. But, you know, I'm getting better. I think what the audience has seen, you know, most times you see an artist and, you know, by the time they come out, they're at their peak. Y'all watch me at my worst. So, and then over time, I'm starting to get better and I'm starting to peak. And that's what's different about my career. It's like I'm reverse engineered. I feel like my best years are ahead of me. And people have been watching me develop for 30 years. So if you never heard of me and I just came out, they'd be like, yo, he's hilarious. But I've been here. And so now sometimes you got to hit them with a little bit more harder jokes so they remind them, you know, you that dude.
Yo, it was literally hilarious. And we met with you afterwards. And, you know, thank you for all that. I mean, we had a great night. And you were just real funny, man. And so that's why today when we're doing this interview, I'm like, people need to come out and see you because you are coming back. Parks Casino, the Microphone Fiend Tour, August 12th. And I tell everybody, you are a must-see comic that I feel like people need to see on the road. You're just that funny.
Thank you, baby. I appreciate you. How much I owe you for this?
Nothing.
All right, good. Come on back. You know, I change my stuff up a lot, so depending on what I'm feeling. But come on out, man. It's going to be a great show. I'll give you that much. And I don't take these shows lightly. I try to leave people with not just their face hurting, but with something, you know, that they could – a little nugget of knowledge or some kind of touchstone they could take with them, you know?
Yeah. Microphone Fiend, Eric B. and Rakim. Talk about why you decided to name the tour this.
Because I'm addicted to microphones. I've been since I was a kid, you know, I'm making people laugh, you know. I'm an addict and a junkie for laughter. And so, you know, I'm not just a pusher, I'm a user and an abuser. So I just want to get everybody high on laughter because I just feel like the world needs it right now. And, you know, all the drugs are bad, but comedy is a drug that and a dopamine that lies within our system. So I'm like, come out, come laugh, and come get high off this laughter with me.
Love it. We saw you at this year's BET Awards. You presented Busta Rhymes with the Lifetime Achievement Award. And you were talking about how back in the day, you know, you wanted to get Leaders of the New School on in Living Color and Busta is a part of the group. Can you talk about that? Because, you know, Swiss was there. It was such an iconic moment that we felt like Busta has needed for a long time.
Well, you know, I love Busta. I've always been a fan of his. I always liken myself to Busta. You know, we're two great guys and great artists that just been around so long that people don't even, you know, it's kind of like people don't even acknowledge your greatness. And I was just so happy for it. But yet you're getting better. Busta just ages well. He gets better with time. And to me, he's one of the GOATs. And I don't think the brother gets his credit. So when it was time to honor him, you know, I felt like it was only right to honor him because, you know, I feel like honoring him is honoring myself. I love him. I love the artist he is. I love the understated artist he is. I love that people sleep. It allows them to just keep getting better. And one day, they'll figure it out.
Right. Look, you said you were having lunch with Mona Scott Young, and that's how this came about. What do you talk to her about at lunch? Like, what is that conversation like?
A lot of laughs. You know, Mona funny. You know, of course it's about business and stuff, you know, and talk about how we could find ways to do some business together. But, you know, she's from New Jersey. I'm a New Yorker. So, you know, we can just talk about any and everything. And we've both been in the business so long and have so many mutual friends and associates that, you know, it wasn't work sitting with Mona, you know. It's like you sit with your peers and you just have a great conversation. It's like sitting with one of my sisters.
Right. So we all know that SAG-AFTRA is striking, the writers, the actors. There's a lot going on. What are you doing with your free time, Marlon? Because we know you do all of that. You act, you write, you direct, you produce. You do all of that. So now you have this free time. What are you doing with it?
I don't have no free time. There's more. I actually have more time. When you're talking about a thinker and a creator and a person that works, you know, I'm thinking about the business that I can do. I am united in with my writers, and I'm united with the all the actors, because I do feel like we need to get paid more. You got actors out here making $50, $60 million a season. And, you know, actors is barely making ends meet enough to buy themselves sandwiches during the day.
Yeah.
So, and some actors, and even the highest paid actors, I feel like we need more in these studios and these, you know, people are making all this money. And why not? We deserve, and the writers deserve, and the creators deserve to eat too. So I stand with them. But in the meantime, I'm on stage. Continue to get better, continue to make people laugh, continue to work, and, you know, really looking at my brand of Marlon and the brand of Wayans and going, how can we bring entertainment to people right now in this place? And that's what we're focused on. So
right.
I feel like the world can shut down, and it allows us to create a whole new avenue, because I feel like people are going to need laughter more than ever when this is over.
Yeah. And you've been burning your meat too. You're, you know, grilling with your family. You charring that meat up during your free time, huh?
I was like, girl, you said burning your meat. I was like, I haven't had sex.
That came out wrong.
How am I burning my meat?
That came out.
No, I don't burn it. That was pause. That's what they like.
All right, question. I just recently saw the Scream movie on an airplane. Are any ideas percolating at this point? Have you seen the movie?
I've seen the movies, but no, I'm not worried about that. You know, if they want us to do another scary movie, they're gonna have to come to us in a correct manner, and we can make it happen. But I'm not gonna go say something that I created. We'll just create something new. I don't think that anybody else could bring you a scary movie except the Wayans. So if anybody else brings it to you and you don't hear that we announced and signed on to it, then it's fraudulent. So when the audience figures that out by number four or five. So, you know.
Yeah, they were terrible.
If we do it, you'll know about it.
they were bad.
We'll be loud about it. But in the meantime, yeah, the jig is up. So y'all gonna have to come correct or we ain't doing it.
Right. Last question. You did The Curse of Bridge Hollow on Netflix, and it's a different role for you. You're playing a dad, an older guy, or, you know, I think you were a scientist or something like that, and you have a child, and, you know, there's a curse in the house and things like that. But how was it playing that character where you're like an older dad, you know?
All my roles are new roles, right? Mm-hmm. If you look at it, you know, I played a white woman, I played a junkie, I played a gangster. I played seven people in one movie.
Yeah.
At some point, just realized that this man can act. So it doesn't matter what role you give him, I'm going to show up and do something with it.
That's right, Marlon.
Right now, you know, it'll be a long time before we, you know, we talk about roles and things like that, because, you know, we're in this strike. And I stand united with my writers and stand united with my actors, and, you know, give us free.
Yeah. Kelly Rowland plays your wife in the movie. How was it acting with her?
Love Kelly. She's a sweetheart. One of the best people I ever met.
Oh, I love that. Well, Marlon Wayans, thank you so much. I urge people to come out and see you at Parks Casino Microphone Fiend Tour on August 12th.
Thank you. Come on through. Let's get these laughs. We all need them.
We sure do. Marlon Wayans, thank you for your time. It's Mina Say What in your midday on 100.3 Philly's R&B.